This is Sheila and
Hillary
from LDS Women's Book Review, and we are here at the Big Book Bunch at Valor Publishing in Pavi at Barnes & Noble, and we have with us a very famous author. We have Michelle Ashman Bell, and how many books have you written?
This is my 20th release.
This is so exciting. So, and we are here, and her new book, Summer of Paris, the young adult book, is out. And do you want to tell us a little bit about this book?
I do. And it's also my first young adult, legit young adult book. I've written books that were kind of a youthful tone, but not classified as young adult. So it's exciting. It's kind of like a way to hit that 20 mark and do something new and reinvent myself, and I'll start something a little different. The story, though, is a riches to rags kind of a theme, which is really unusual because usually you see it the other way. But this girl is in New York. Her life is almost like a fairy tale. She has rich family. She's wealthy. She's got everything she could ever want. And she comes home one day from a date with her gorgeous boyfriend, who's also wealthy, right?
Yeah.
And her parents call her into the office and say they need to talk and tell her that not only are they going bankrupt, but they're going to split up with the parents. And so her world just totally bottoms out and gets turned upside down. And they tell her, we're going to send you to live in Paris for the summer while we sort things out and we get things kind of taken care of. And she's like, okay, well, you know, that sounds pretty good. But then she finds out that it's with her aunt and uncle in Paris, Idaho. And suddenly, the whole Paris thing is totally not fun. And she tells all her friends she's going to Paris and doesn't clarify. And so she ends up on a farm in Paris, Idaho, a town that truly, if you blink while you're driving, you would miss.
Yeah, it's small. Very true.
It does exist.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It's like Moscow.
Right.
Okay. Well, even Moscow's bigger than Paris.
Is it?
Well, Moscow, Idaho.
Yeah. I think it is because Paris really is known for one thing, and it's their beautiful tabernacle.
Exactly.
It's a historical landmark, but that's pretty much it. So she finds herself on a farm learning to feed chickens, learning to weed the garden and do menial labor that is sold for Rena because she wanted to dance, and she has to give up all of that because it's gone, it's taken from her. And what happens from that point on is that she learns what's really important, and she learns how to go after her dreams and not depend on anyone else and just work hard and make things happen for herself. And I love the growth that she goes through. People don't like her at the beginning, but you love her at the end because she's a better person for what she goes through.
Well, I'm lucky because I was able to read. I got a PDF of the book, and you know, I really didn't dislike her at the beginning. You could just tell that she'd always gotten everything that she ever wanted.
Yeah.
You know, but then as you got to know her more and found out different things and difficulties that she'd had in life, you could kind of understand why she did what she did, why her parents acted the way they did. And I don't want to say what it is because they need to read the book,
right.
The reasoning behind some of the sorrow of the family. But I think, you know, I never got the main character as being bratty, really.
Good.
You know?
Well, I appreciate that because I thought she had a lot of sympathetic qualities about
her. She
was a caring, kind person, but like you said, she didn't know any different. That's the way she'd been raised. So I don't know. I just hope readers will really appreciate all she goes through and love her like I did when I wrote
exactly.
Her.
And you know, the other thing that I was thinking about as far as this book. Now you said this is your first an adult book, and this is also your first book with Valor Publishing, correct?
Correct. Yeah, how exciting is that? They have got such amazing vision. It's so exciting to be part of the Valor, you know, wave that's going to hit the nation and just take things by storm, because I believe in what they're doing. I believe so strongly in what they stand for, and I really think that they are going to make some big splashes.
And so when did they come to you, and when did you switch over?
Stole my question.
Sorry, I'll let you ask
the question. It was almost a year ago, just a little bit after, it was like May last year, and Candace took me to lunch, and we started talking, and she totally caught me by surprise and told me what she was doing, because I didn't know she was starting up this you know, company. And so she told me what her vision was, and everything she promised me that she would do, she has delivered and more.
Wow.
And that's pretty remarkable.
Okay, we're going to let Hillary ask a question now.
You've taken like 98% of my questions, but that's okay.
Sorry.
All right, so being your 20th book, tell everyone what was... It's been a long time since I read your very first books. Tell us what your very first book was and when you wrote it.
My very first book? Wow.
She's going, wow.
Remembering your kids' birthdays and stuff.
Remembering their Christmas presents the first year.
Yeah, sure is. My first book came out in 98, and it was called An Unexpected Love. But I had written it 4 years before it finally got published.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I wrote for 10 years before I got published.
Yeah.
Wow. What made you decide to write?
I love books so much. I love books, and I'm the kind of person that likes to control things. So I would read a book and I'd be like,
which is okay.
I would change that, or I wouldn't end that quite that way, or, you know, I wanted to have that creative control.
Yeah.
So one day I read a magazine story, a short story in Good Housekeeping, and I'm like, I could totally have written that and done so much better. I just hated how they wrote the story, so I'm like, you know, I think I could do this. So I went to the library and I just checked out some books on how to write, and that's how
Michelle.
It all began.
Oh, that's unreal.
Well, I think we need to give you some time. So thank you very much.
So awesome.
Thank you, Michelle.
So much for being here.
We're excited for you.
Okay.
For you too.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
All right.
Okay, go for
it. It's on.
It is on. It is recording. And I'll keep an eye on it. Go for it.
Okay. This is Hillary and
Sheila
with Elias Women's Book Review, and we are here with Darren. How do you say your last name?
Fraley.
It is like Fraley. Staley.
Like Fraley. Staley.
Fraley.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are a new author, is that right, with Valor?
Brand new.
Brand new. Tell us about your book.
It is speculative fiction, and the premise is that there is a people on another world that know that the Savior will be born, but not there.
Isn't that awesome?
Whoa, that is amazing. What's the name of your book?
It's called The Thorn. It's book one of a three-part series in the Chronicles of Gone.
Gone.
G-A-N.
I know it is. I love that type of stuff.
And how long have you been a writer?
I don't know, high school?
So, okay, let me reword that question. What made you decide to write a book and actually get it published, like submit it for publication?
Well, about 7 years ago, that was when the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the First Presidency did the video, The Living Christ.
Oh.
And there was something in that video that deeply impressed me, and that was Neil A. Maxwell's testimony as he stands in the observatory and he's looking out at the stars and he says, God is not just the God of this world. And that...
That's begging for a story.
Yeah, that was begging for a story. And so I thought about that an awful lot, and I wondered, well, if there's these other worlds out there, what might it be like?
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? That is really interesting. And what age group is it geared towards?
It was originally written for adults. But it's a clean read and very suitable for a YA audience.
That's great. And so this book, just when was its official release date?
Today.
Oh, yeah, it's today. That's what we're here for.
Maybe it's been out a week.
No, today's the
big book launch for all of them.
Okay, and do you have a projection for book two? And if you do, do you have a name for it yet?
The name is already chosen. It's called Heaven's Garden.
Wow.
And the word Gan, G-A-N in Hebrew, actually means garden. I'm hoping to have it turned into Valor Publishing by the end of June. And if I make my deadline, then it will be out next spring.
That's wonderful. And what made you choose Valor?
They're awesome.
I love it.
How many, did it take you a lot of submissions, or was this like a first time they said, great, we love it, let's do it?
No, it wasn't my first submission. I do have a rejection letter and a half.
That's all? One and a half?
Just one and a half.
That's pretty good.
I was very, very lucky. It was a lot to do with the networking that I had done at the LDS Storymakers Conference and being in the right place at the right time and knowing the right people and having them ask for the manuscript.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That's very fortunate for too.
Did you enter this first chapter contest in the past few years with the Thorn?
This last year at LDS Storymakers, I actually submitted the first chapter of a different book that is not The Thorn. And although it didn't win, it had decent marks. Maybe someday we'll see that book on the shelves, too.
There you go. Okay, so for all of those listeners out there, like us, who want to be writers someday or are attempting to be, what is some good advice that you want to give?
Read like crazy. Read lots of books, and then write. Write all the time. And don't ever give up. I've heard of writers that have written a book and then submitted and gotten rejections and then given up. Don't give up. Keep after it. And please don't look at my experience as being typical, because
no, it's not.
It is very not
no,
typical.
No, we know it's not typical. Yeah. We've talked to enough people to know that is so not typical.
Yeah.
You're very fortunate, which means your book is probably pretty good.
I think it's pretty good.
You better think it's pretty good.
So where can everyone get your book? Can you name all the different places where our listeners can make sure and purchase the book in the right place?
Yep. It will be available on Amazon.com.
Excellent.
Barnes & Noble bookstores. It will be in Costco.
Oh,
I believe Valor's talking to Walmart.
Woohoo!
Deseret Book, Siegel Book. Those are the places we're hoping to get it in. There may be more. And right now I know that it is being carried by Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Excellent. This is exciting.
We're
excited. Well, I'm
excited
because I'm going to be blogging and doing part of the book tour with Darren's book. So I'm excited. I'll be doing that in a few weeks. I can't remember which date for sure, but in the next few weeks. So I'm excited.
I look forward to it.
Good. Thank you so much, Darren.
Thanks for your time.
Nice to meet you. Talking about his website. Hold on. This is an advertisement for you.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell us more about your blog and what's on your blog.
My blog is combined with my website.
What's your address?
The address. Thank you. It's www.darrenfraley.com, and that's spelled DarrenFraley. And so on my website, I have my blog and a special reading area where I have several short stories that will appeal to most readers. One of the short stories on there that I wanted to tell you about is called Angel's Song. Now, Angel's Song is a short story that is a companion story to my book, The Thorn, and has one of the same characters in it, but is not part of the book.
That's very cool.
So
okay.
Go and check out the short story. And between that and the first chapter and the prologue that's there on the shorts, on the reading page, you'll be able to see a little bit about my writing.
Excellent. We will do that. See, I'm glad we talked about that. I get to know more about you and more about your writing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No.
Oh, we are.
This is still Sheila and...
Still Hillary.
Yeah, we are still the same people we were 5 minutes ago, weren't we? I have to make sure it's turned on. But we are here with another new author that is published with Valor now. And what is your name?
Kimberly Doe.
And tell us all about your new book.
My book is about a mother who... My book is about a woman who gets the courage to leave an abusive relationship. She thinks she's left all the danger behind, but she finds out that she hasn't. And then she meets another man and finds happiness and true love and knows that things can actually be happy.
And what's the name of it?
It's I'll Know You By Heart.
Say that slower.
I'll Know You By Heart.
And you know what? It is so good, and I wish I could find a man like this. Is this how your new husband is?
He is, and that's the funny thing is that I wrote this book before we met.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. See, the thing is, Kimberly kind of went through, I like the way I did with being a single mom for a while, I'm not going to say anything about your other marriage, because that's not nice to you, but you can tell that it was written by someone that had really experienced what it's like to be a single mom.
Yeah, it was actually really hard to write some of the stuff. I left it out, and then my editor's like, we need more here, and then I just had this one day of editing that was just horrible, because I just felt all of that, and I think it made the book better, though. It was difficult.
Yeah, I mean, there's just true feelings that come up. I mean, there was a lot of times when I was reading your book that I just started bawling. It was just like, somebody understands. Someone really knows just how hard it is and the struggles we go through. So, I mean, but I think anybody can enjoy this love story.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it, you know, has a happy, feel-good ending, and that's what everybody likes.
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Very much. And you're a new author, obviously, as we just said, but what made you decide to go with Valor?
I am friends with some of the people in Valor, and they actually approached me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So was it one submission?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, these stories tonight, we're hearing about all of you guys that submitted your manuscript one time and are getting published. That's exciting.
That's exciting, exciting news. Are you planning on writing more?
Yeah, I have another book almost done. Titled A Change of Heart so far.
Oh. Is it going to be a spin-off? Is it going to be like a part two of the story, or is it a totally new story? Or
It's a totally new story. I don't really know how people write sequels, because by the time I'm done, I'm like, I'm sick of these characters.
After all the editing that you do.
Yeah, I want to write about someone new. So it's a different story, but it's still a romance.
And it'll be with Valor again, I assume, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And do you have a guesstimation on a release date for that one? I mean, this is a brand new, obviously, release date. I think today, right?
Yeah, today's the day, right?
We're hoping next year. Next year. That's fantastic.
Okay, I have one more question. How do you find the time to write? Now, with your combined marriage, you said you have 10 kids now?
What?
Yeah, I have 10 kids.
Wow.
I write a lot late at night, just snippets here and there during the day, but nothing really regular.
Can you tell our listeners what your website is and where they can reach you and then where they can buy your books?
My website is www.kimberlyjobe.com, and I also have a blog.
Spell your last name.
Job, J-O-B.
Okay.
I have a blog, scribbledscraps.blogspot.com.
It is cute. You need to go there. I really like it. I think I thought of you when I went to her website first, yes.
And my books are available at Amazon, all the Barnes & Noble stores, and the regional LDS bookstores as well.
Excellent. Well, we're happy for you.
Very
it's exciting, and it's a fabulous book, everyone. You need to get it. I loved it. So,
yep.
Thank you, Kimberly.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Karen Hoover playing her blue sapphire flute. And Karen Hoover is the author of The Sapphire Flute, a new YA fantasy book that Valor Publishing has published. And we'll be talking to her in just a little bit. Okay, we are recording. This is Sheila
and Hillary.
And we are with author Tristy Pinkston. We love her too, by the way. And she has something very exciting happening right today. Do you want to, yes, right this very second, do you want to tell us what it is?
I am releasing my fifth novel. This is the start of a new series. It's called The Secret Sisters Mysteries. And the first book is appropriately titled Secret Sisters. And it just got released tonight.
Yes. Wasn't it Ida Mae's birthday today? Is that what you said?
Yes, it is Ida Mae's birthday today. Ida Mae comes into the world today. Yes. So she's the main character in my book. She's a lot of fun. She's a funky, quirky little lady who happens to be Relief Society president. And in her book, she and her counselors decide to take up espionage in order to get their visiting teaching done.
You know what? It might not be a bad idea, actually.
My ward could take some lessons, perhaps. I haven't seen my visiting teachers in ages.
Well, that's because they're in the bushes.
They're busy hiding.
Yeah.
They're watching you, Hillary.
Me.
Yeah, just go look in your bushes. That's where they are. Secret. With spy glasses and recording devices and all kinds of things.
Okay, so we heard from Candace. She said you're going to have a book released in a few more months, like the second book of the series?
Yeah, the second book comes out in August, and there are five books in the series, and so they'll come out every March and August for the next 2.5 years.
Can you tell us the name of the second book?
The second book is called Ida Mae Rides Again.
Oh.
Would you like the whole name of the whole series?
Rides Again?
Rides, actually in a wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she breaks her ankle and spends some time in a motorized wheelchair.
Well, you can't be that sneaky in a motorized wheelchair.
Well, Ida Mae can. I can't, but Ida Mae can. And then the third book will be out a year from now, next March. And it's called She Wore a Yellow Girdle.
Yellow girdle.
A yellow girdle. And then the fourth book is called Targets and Ties. As in neckties, right. You know, missionaries. And then the fifth one is called And Something Blue.
Okay, now I have a question. Did you get to choose all the titles for all these books, or did...
Yes, I did.
So how is it that all of a sudden, now that you're with Valor Publishing, and you're, you know, pretty important to them, with your... What's your other official, besides an author with Valor Publisher, what is your other title?
I'm the senior editor with Valor Publishing, and I handle the acquisitions, and then I also do the editing. I oversee all the editors within the department.
So this is why she got to pick her own titles.
I was going to say,
well, they were good titles. I mean,
they're excellent titles.
If they'd stunk, they would have told me and we would have changed them. But they just happen to be good titles. What can I say?
Okay, so do you have some questions, Hillary?
I was going to say, this is the first of a different genre for you. Your first couple of books were historicals, right? And then you had a mystery suspense, Agent O'Lace, right? So tell us, oh, you've given us kind of a briefing of your new book. Are the same characters going to be in all of the series? Or are you going to be mixing in new ones or making new first characters? Are you planning on just keeping it all together?
Well, in the first book, we have just one point of view character, and that's Ida Mae. And then in the other books, we add in some other point of view characters as well. But it's the same core group of people, but we do bring in additional sideline characters.
It sounds so entertaining. I can't wait to read it. I haven't read it yet, but excited to read it. And do you have, outside of this, any other things you're doing? Are you keeping pretty busy with Valor right now with the new publishing house? Or,
well, I do have several ideas for other books that I'm going to be doing after this one. But the editing and all this, it definitely, it's time-consuming, but it's so much fun.
Oh, goodness.
I get to work on all the books that Valor publishes, so I get to have a hand in it all. So.
And you're also going to be at Storymakers this year, correct? And you are teaching a class, if I read right. Did I read that?
Two classes, actually.
Which one?
One of them is on virtual book tours and how to set those up for yourself. And then the other one I'm co-teaching with my husband, and it's on helping your spouse to support you when you're a writer. So that's a question I get asked over and over again is people come up to you and they'll say, you know, I want to write, but my spouse is just really not supporting me. And how do I get them kind of to understand? And so that's what the class is about.
Sounds like an excellent class, yes. We're very excited about it. And we're excited for your new book. It sounds really fun. Everyone's talked about it with little twinkles in their eyes. So we know it's going to be one of those fun ones that we're going to look forward to reading. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Do you have any other questions, Sheila? No,
we're good.
All right. All right, well, thank you very much.
I had three goals that I wanted to accomplish.
Okay. I did a search online for a blue flute and found one that was out of China, and just ordered it. And
so I had a question, because I played the flute also when I was watching. Is it just like play like a regular flute, just as you normally would?
It does. It plays very much the same. It's a little more like a beginning to a middle level, so it doesn't play quite as easily for me. I have an open-hold flute that I got as a graduation present that's more of an advanced instrument, so that's been a little bit of a challenge adapting to that. But
well, you would never have known. I just thought it was absolutely beautiful. You shouldn't have been worried at all. It was a beautiful, beautiful solo. And who was playing with you?
That was Paulette Inman. She plays the cross harp, which is kind of rare. It's a Celtic cross harp, so it's got double strings that cross on the way down. It was fascinating.
It was wonderful. You guys should do like public, get a little thing recorded and put it in your book or something, you know, because it goes perfectly with your book. It really does. But I mean, she really didn't get to play the flute in the first book. So when is the flute actually going to get to be played?
Oh.
Does that give away something really bad? Sorry.
No, I'm just trying to think. She does play some towards the end in book one.
That's true. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. And if I told when, that would give it away, huh? Sorry.
Oh, well. You know, too late. Ah. Book two, she does get to do some pretty advanced playing, especially toward the end. And it'll just continue from there.
Yeah, I forgot. The very end. And it was very important to the whole plot, what happened at the very end, too. I liked the ending, by the way. I was very grateful that you did not leave us in, like, a major cliffhanger. It was more of something just to look forward to as the quest continues.
I appreciate that, because I worked very hard to, you know, tie up the threads that had the main plot questions there. You know, I had to leave a few things hanging, because it is a series, but I didn't want to leave people hanging, because I hate when that happens.
Hey, now, we've heard a lot from some of the authors tonight that this was the first company that they had, publishing company, that they'd even submitted their manuscript to. Is that the same case with you?
No. No, I have submitted other places. My book was actually being considered with a big name fantasy, but I just felt really good about Valor. It was just one of those things. I had to follow my gut, and Valor was where I wanted to go. We believe in the same kinds of things, and they could take it more in the direction that I want, and that is to reach the youth.
Well, I think you did that. And the one thing that I wrote about when I blogged about your book was the fact that you have three very, very strong female characters, which you don't find that in fantasy.
No, you don't. That's very rare. I had a conversation with one of my other blog reviewers who commented on that, the difference between male-written high fantasy versus female-written high fantasy, and how men tend to focus on, you know, the descriptions and the weapons and, you know, the battles, and the women, that I tended to focus a lot more on the emotional aspect of the characters, which was...
But you know what? I think also in your book, you also had some very exciting scenes along the way. I mean, I'm not going to talk about it, but they involved dragons and underground caves and passageways.
So, yes, I love a good romp through a book, you know? And so I tried to make it something that would be real fun and something that anybody could pick up and would have a hard time putting down. So I tried to write a book that I would read, and I hope that I accomplished it.
No, I think you did. I mean, I thought it was great. It's very good fantasy. I mean, I'm just excited to read the next one, not excited that I have to wait till next year. But
I know, that's always the hard part.
Unless you want to send, you know, manuscripts out to let some people read it just to see what they think, you know.
You do have to have advanced readers to get feedback. So
I love being advanced readers. I know. She knows that.
I love it.
No. Did you have some questions? Here, Hillary has a question.
I don't know if you already asked it, though. Did she already ask you if about how you got the book published originally by winning the...
No.
Oh, great. I got one question and then you don't have. Okay. So tell everyone what happened with how this came to be.
Okay. I can do that. I went to the LDS Storymakers Conference last year, and I've placed, you know, in the last couple of years, so that was pretty neat. But I didn't know how this one would do. So I ended up taking grand prize with one of my stories, which was...
Was it this one?
No. Actually, this one took first place in fantasy in 2007 at the same conference. So, yeah, I won first and second that year in fantasy, and I took first in fantasy in 2008, and then I took grand prize last year in 2009. So,
and none of those books that you've placed are this one, are they?
The first... In 2007, the one who took first place.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that. Sorry about that.
That's fine. Yes, that one took first place, and I met Tristy through that, and she helped me to kind of polish it up, and so I started submitting. But, yes, last year after I won, then I talked to Candace Salima, and she told me that she was starting up a company and that she would like my book.
And are the other books that you submitted for those page, those not page contests, those chapter contests, are they in the works for publication, or are you considering it? What's the word on that?
Well, I have a there's one that might be under consideration at this point. We shall see. But they want to focus on getting this one done.
And how many?
There are 7 in the series. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes from there, but I have probably 30 book ideas already stuck in my head, and so it's just a matter of parking my rear in the chair and getting it written.
And did Sheila tell you what Candace said about you?
No, she did not.
She compared you to J.K. Rowling.
What did I say?
She didn't know what Candace said. She says you are on the same caliber and that your book is as fantastic and you're just as talented of a writer as J.K. Rowling. What do you think about that? Without blushing.
Yeah, that's impossible. It's very humbling. You know, those are some huge shoes to fill. And it's a great compliment to me because she's a great character writer. And that's what I try the most with my writing, is to write great characters that people can identify with, you know?
See, and I'm, as a reader, and those that listen to our podcast know this, that I am totally character-driven. A great story is fantastic, but you give me a good character, and I'll read almost any story because of the characters. So if you've written a good character, even though I'm not the fantasy one of the group, that would be Sheila, but I will read it if it's a good character and if it's a well-written character.
She's very good at characterization.
And that's so important. Cannot stress that enough, how important that is.
Let me tell you a story. My husband is not a reader. He never has been a reader. He would read one book maybe every 2 or 3 years.
Do we have the same husband? Because mine is the same one. I took a picture of him 6 weeks ago with a book in his arm. It was amazing. First time in 11 years.
Yeah. He didn't read, and he came to me a couple of years ago, and he said, you know, I feel bad that I haven't been supportive. I would like to read your book. And so I said, well, okay. So I gave him one of the earlier drafts of The Sapphire Flute. He read it in 3 days.
That's amazing.
And he came back to me and he said, do you know more people who write like this? I want to read books like this. And I'm like, yeah, it's called young adult fantasy. And so I gave him, you know, James Dashner and Brandon Mole and, you know, Brandon Sanderson's, you know, younger books. And I can't get him to stop reading now.
Yay! Well, that's the secret.
She's created a good monster.
That is a good monster.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm with you. It's all about the characters. And to me, the world is secondary to the characters themselves. So
absolutely. Absolutely. That's exciting. I'm so excited for you. And it gives, now tell everyone now, a lot of the people we've been talking to, the authors here tonight, it was first submission quickly recognized. Now with meeting Tristy at the contest with the story makers, that was the trigger point for you to get a submission. So obviously it was picked up on first submission.
Yes, it was with, this one was. I've sent it out to other agents. I had sent it out to one of the large fantasy publishers, and there was some consideration there, but in the end I just decided that this is where I wanted to be. Valor had everything that I wanted. We believe in the same kinds of things, and for me, it's about reaching the youth. I want to reach the kids in whatever way I can do. So this gave me the opportunity to do that.
Well, I haven't read it yet, but Sheila just is so excited about it, and she's a connoisseur, dare I say, of you know, children's fantasy fiction, and she's extremely excited about your book. And being character-driven, I will probably read it.
So, I hope you do, and I'd love to hear what you think.
I would love to read it. So, yeah, we're excited, and congratulations. And for the record, we recorded your flute playing tonight. Totally did. And it might make the podcast. I think it's probably going to make it. And so we want to let you know you did a beautiful job.
I appreciate that. That was actually the part I was the most nervous about tonight. So,
and I can tell you're visibly relaxed.
I am much more relaxed now.
Yeah, so thank you so much. We appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.